See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his glory is like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. You know, 590 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Play me just a verse. You'll know it. Just sing this verse with me, will you?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Hallelujah, because you're going to seek first the kingdom of God. Let me take you into this whole idea. We still have time. So because we still have time, we must take time first to seek the kingdom of God. Hickory dickory dock. The mouse ran up the clock, and the clock struck one, and the mouse ran on. And so a nursery rhyme introduces us as children to time. And the first thing the children learn is that there's get up time and go to bed time and go to school time and there's play time. And then it changes because it's learned another way. It's time to go to work. You talk of clocking in time. And as we find the spread of our lives, sometimes folks say time is boring. Other times it's exciting. Sometimes it's solemn and sad. Because time is the warp and the weave that creates the fabric of our lives. So we measure it, not just daily with the clock or the watch, but on a calendar, noting as we do this week for Edith and for Debbie, that another year in their life has progressed. So we have our birthdays. And now we're not talking of minutes, and we're not talking of hours or weeks, but we're talking of years. And that's time. One incredible day, when Jesus was surrounded by the crowds, he took time. Time to teach, train, if you want to use that word, to his disciples. What were the principles of a lifestyle that he expected them to follow? Now, we happen to call it the Sermon on the Mount. In reality, it was all about how you spend your time, how you live your life. And things haven't changed. Despite this amazingly complex technological world in which we live that measures time for us. Here, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So three principles. They're very simple. Principle number one, take time for God. Now the big question is, well, how? What does that involve? In a chaotic world where people live their lives without a conscience, where moral standards have reached an all-time low, where it's become so, and crime has become so commonplace that the police now are not going to register unless you meet certain criteria. They've set their own parameters, what they will see and investigate and describe as crime. So the first and obvious thing we have to do is to respond to this great, glorious invitation to become a follower of the Lord Jesus. And it means you take time to commit yourself in an act of repentance, in an act of trust, and you make Jesus the Savior and Lord of your life. But what does that really mean? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, number one, you will ponder his word. Here's Psalm 119. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And this is the challenge. If I am going to give God time, it will be through getting to know him. How does any relationship work? We talk of courtship. We talk of marriage. You take time to get to know each other. You talk of friendships. You take time. They all thrive on what you discover and consequently how you change and how you build that relationship. And the most obvious way of getting to know God is through his word. So this is something we must not and we cannot ignore. Because in the most amazing way, God speaks to us, gives directions to us, draws us to himself. So to take time for God means taking time to meditate, to reflect, to absorb, to think through, to get to know him. Not just know about him, but to know him. So you will ponder his word if you take time for God. I knelt here again this morning and made a fresh commitment and pledge that I will stand here and help you to ponder the word of God. I will not tickle your ears with fancy philosophies and ideas, but week in and week out, if I'm here, I bring you the word of God because I want you to take time for God, to ponder his word. Because when you ponder his word, then you will practice his ways. Isaiah 2:3 says, and he will teach us his ways. And what then? And we will walk in his paths. How that is going to contrast with our contemporary world is amazing. So many are self-centered. We live in a world where people are inconsiderate of others, unforgiving, filled with hostility, as hate and jealousy. Somebody got appointed to parliament this last week, and the trolling, vicious, angry, bitter words posted in the media. That's the world we're living in. So it's a world of hate, of jealousy, of spite, petty spitefulness. The young people are growing up thinking the knife and the angry retort is the norm, where everyone is for themselves. Oh, I've just been in the States, over in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a teenager had cancer, undergoing very drastic chemotherapy and radiation, and consequently lost everything, his looks, his hair, he was pretty grim. And on the way home from hospital, do you know what he was worried about? This is his parents writing this up. Not about the cancer, but how he looked. How he looked, what the treatment had done to him. And he'd already decided he was not going to wear a hat or a wig. And do you know when he arrived home, there were 50 or more of his school friends and his colleagues from the church and so on, and they were waiting for him. And they're shouting, "Welcome home." And every single one of them had shaved their heads to try and look like their friend is coming home. Hey, hear me? Hear me this morning? Caring and sensitive friends from his church and his school wanted him to know he was included. He was loved. And when we become followers of the Lord Jesus, when we become Christians, We become part of a great family that loves, that cares, that supports. The church, you and I, we are the body of Christ. We're meant to be kind. We're meant to be helpful. We're meant to be understanding, forgiving. We're meant to be filled with God's love. We are meant to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, because those are God's ways. And giving God first place in our lives means we will be pursuing, we will be practicing, we will carry out His ways. So you'll ponder His word if you give God time. You will pursue His ways and you will participate in His work. Here's what Jesus says in John 9:41. I must work, I'm cutting a little bit out, while it is day, for the night comes when no one can work. The NIV puts it like this: as long as it's day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. So Jesus stops. What for? To bring healing to a blind man. Do you hear the phrase? As long as it is day. Can I put that in another way? While you have the chance. While you have the opportunity, seize it. Involved in His kingdom means being faithful, being there, being here. This is how you will ponder His ways. This is how you will learn how to pursue His paths. This is how you will learn how to participate in His work. It's an actual, specific, regular participation in the many aspects of the kingdom of God. And then you go further. You open the doors. You reach out to folk who are unsaved. You urge them to repent, to confess Christ as Savior and Lord. And Jesus stood up and said, hey, have a look over there, will you? Have a look. The harvest is plentiful. It's the laborers who are few. So you ask the Lord of the harvest that He will thrust, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest field. Principle number one, take time for God. Principle number two, take time for others. Let me go back to poetry I learned at grammar school. No man is an island. Never seek to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Do you know what the Bible says in Ephesians 4? Be kind. Be compassionate to one another. Forgiving each other as just as Christ in God forgave you. What am I going to do to take time for others this year? I've got to be considerate of others. Paul insists that time and time and time again, that out of our ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ, the implication of that spills over in terms of how we behave with each other. And he challenged the Christians at Corinth with all their ins and outs and ups and downs in terms of their relationship. You read 2 Corinthians 5, he says, you know, Christ's love compels us that we should not live for ourselves, but for others. So it means inevitably we consider the feelings, regard the rights, look at the accomplishment of others. People think differently. They oftentimes behave selfishly and sometimes even foolishly. And we must never forget that God builds His kingdom in collaboration with people like us, His children. So we have to realize that some things will occur that we will not always understand or appreciate. Contemporary worship styles is one of the big issues. They create their own tensions. Consider one another in Christ. Be considerate of others. 1 John 3:17. If you see your brother in need and have no pity, have no compassion on him, how can you say the love of God dwells in you? So be concerned about others. Here's the heartbeat of the gospel. Concern that motivates us. I'm not talking of your duty. It's more than your duty. It's an intense responsibility to have compassion on those less fortunate, those afflicted, those with problems. It goes beyond caring about our personal pains and problems. Ours is a needy, broken world. We can't do everything, but we must do something. So I'm making a plea for our Tithe Sundays. I grant you have blessed hearts so immensely and so wonderfully over the years. But this year, to do it again. Those Sundays for mission, our awareness of specific needs, our care for troubled families and situations and conflicts, the people who are hurting in our society, people who are desperate because they can't cope anymore. Now, I need to make another statement. Well, I need to emphasize, do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you and hold you. And you know something? In this coming year, if you take time for others, your hands, your embrace, your words might be just the things that God wants to do for that other person. And when you touch them, and when you sit with them, and when you cry with them, and when you listen to them, God's taken you and made you one of his ambassadors. A very privileged position. You're serving him. Here's the third thing. Be cooperative with others. Why? Because we are laborers together with God. It's the outworking of my previous point. When we pull in different directions in the church, there is confusion. That's the order of the day. So the constant emphasis on Scripture is that we work together in unity, in harmony. And God's expectation is that every one of his children will work with him in his service, doing his will. Let's be very clear. We are not employees. We are co-workers with Jesus Christ. When I know that, it changes my thinking. It may change yours too. Take time for God. Still time, so take time. Take time for God. Take time for others. Listen to me. Take time for yourself. Take time for yourself. For what is your life? It is even as a mist. It is even as a vapor. The mist is gone when the morning sun arises. We're no more than that. I can't leave a topic like this without some reflection as how we have to take time for ourselves. I am not talking about your hobbies. I am not talking about activities, secluded activities that you will pursue. What I am talking about is Paul was able to say whatever, wherever, whenever. He says, I have learned to be content. Now I ask a question then. How did he achieve that? How could he achieve that? Can I suggest what he had to do, what you must do? You have to take time to listen for yourself. Isaiah's injunction is what comes to my mind, that God says, listen to me. Give ear and come to me and your soul will live. Isaiah 55:3. Because it's only as we listen to God and take note of what he says, do we then receive the comfort and the care and the blessing that he alone can give. And when you really listen, it will surprise you as what he's got in mind for you. Take time to listen. You take time to listen. Listen to God, listen to others. You'll be amazed as to how everyone at time needs a listening ear. This is how folk are encouraged. It's how problems are solved. It's how comfort and healing is brought to the brokenhearted and the bereaving. It's a wonderful example in Ezekiel. There they are, they're in captivity. It's a devastating time for the people of God. And he sat down for a whole week and just watched, just listened, just waited. You, me, us, let's take time for ourselves to listen. And you listen to the exiles. Psalmist gives it on by the waters of Babylon. You know the song? What have I got to do? If I take time, I've got to take time to listen, I've got to take time to learn. Reiterate how I have to ponder on his word, how I have to receive a wisdom that is from above, how I discover God has purposes for me. And then I will become an individual who fulfills his destiny. Learn. Learn from people. Learn from their knowledge. Learn from their experience. I was talking to Australia earlier this morning, very early this morning. And a comment was made to me by the folk at the other end of the line. And I said, I'm going to share that, because I've written it already in my notes. Here's what I had. Take time to laugh. They were unloading a problem and saying, if we don't laugh, anything you do is cry your heart out. Take time to laugh. Take time to laugh. For a merry heart does good like a medicine. A cheerful heart is good medicine. Do not allow your life to become drab and dreary. That's the image all too often of the Christian. Laugh at yourself. Enjoy others. Above everything else, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Here's another one. When upon life's billows, come on, you are tempest tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, what are you going to do? Count your many blessings, them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done.
When did you last do that?
When did you last do that? Oh, we'll moan and whine and gripe. Count your blessings. Take time to laugh. Take time to lift. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, Jesus took people by the hand and lifted them up, Matthew 9:27. He forgave sin. He gave sight to the blind. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He took time to lift people up. I often have to pray, Lord, you're the glory and the lifter of my head. But he also challenges me to go and lift people up. Go out there. This year, in a way perhaps you've never imagined it was possible. Let's lift people up to God. I got one more, I'm done. And take time to love. 1 John 4:16, God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God. Everyone needs to experience and have a share in God's love. How can that be? If you take time to love, then you'll go out and you'll share a smile. It'll come out of your heart of love. You'll say a kind word, do a kind deed. You give a helping hand. It'll come out of a heart of love. You'll share Christ. It'll come out of a heart filled with love. So take time for God. ponder his ways, pursue his paths, live your life by his principles. Take time for others, be considerate, be concerned, be compassionate, be understanding, and take time for yourself to listen, to learn, to laugh, to lift, most of all, to love. Let's be the greatest church in Rochford. What do you mean by that? Numbers? No. Don't mean that. Let's be the church. Let you and I be the people who, because of God's love, absorbing, consuming, overwhelming their hearts and lives, we're the kindest people in Rochford. The most helpful people in Rochford. We're the ones who share Christ in everything we say and do. Take time. Take time. Take time for God. Take time for others. And take time for yourself. And God bless you. I think you're a wonderful church. I think one of the greatest things God has privileged me to know is to be your pastor. I'm going to take time. You take time with me. Let's go to our songbook. And God laid on my heart Psalm 65 and 11 as a theme for the year. It's about knowing the goodness of the Lord and his paths, dropping fatness upon our way. I want to pray that blessing on you. Father, this morning, as we stand here at the threshold of 2018 and all that it holds, we want to take time for you, for others, and for ourselves. But Lord, out of your goodness, let your paths drop fatness upon your people. Mercy, grace, peace, hope, love, joy, favor, blessing. So they will be a blessing. Fill them with your love to overflowing. It may go like a river from this place into a needy world and a community that's lost its way. Bring many to know the Savior. So the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine on you, be gracious to you, and lift the light of his countenance upon you today and always to know his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.